Hey guys, welcome to this episode of Secondary Accounts. I am so glad you're here. And wow, it's officially episode 3. Kind of wild. And I just wanted to warn you guys that this episode is pretty heavy. Granted, all true crime cases are, but this one is just, it's really hard to share, but that's why we're here. So I hope you are ready. So our story starts in Liverpool, England. James Patrick Bulger, I don't know if it's pronounced Bulger or Bulger, but throughout this episode, I'm going to be pronouncing it Bulger. If I'm wrong, I apologize. I don't have a British accent, so I don't know how to properly pronounce it. So James Patrick Bulger was born on March 16th of 1990 to his parents Denise and Ralph. Before James was born, Denise and Ralph had a daughter, but she was sadly stillborn. With that in mind, they were really careful and really cautious of their son. And that's totally expected. Like, they wanted a child, and when they were able to have one, they took care of it. You work for the things that you care for, and you dedicate so much of your time and your power to it, and that's the beauty. That's the beauty of it. And so, when James was a month away from turning 3 years old, so he was 2 years and 11 months, if we are being technical, he and his mom went shopping at a store in Bootle, England. Hand in hand, Denise walked with James throughout the mall. For one moment, Denise let go of his hand for less than a minute to probably get her wallet out of her purse because they were at, like, this butcher store. I think it was a butcher store. I am not sure. But then she reached back for him, but James was nowhere to be seen. Obviously, fear filled Denise. Her 2-year-old boy was gone at the mall. During this time, people were led to believe that millions of kidnappings happened every year. And I have zero doubt that Denise thought this happened to her little boy. If, honestly, I think worst case scenario with every little thing, which isn't necessarily the best, but, you know, it's interesting for sure, because I have really bad anxiety, and so when I'm very unsure of different things, I think worst case scenario right off the bat, right out of the gate. Like, whenever people are like, okay, we need to talk, my mind jumps to the part where it's like, oh my gosh, I did something wrong, what did I do? Then I look back on all of the different things that I've done, and I'm like, wait, what did I do? Why are they going to talk to me? Like, and then I start freaking out. Granted, this is nothing like what Denise is going through, but she instantly grew to be so afraid about what happened to her son. And I would too, 100%. It's like, I don't have kids of my own. My sister has a kid, obviously my mom has kids, and people very dear to me, like, some of my friends I've seen turn into moms, and that's, like, kind of weird, but it's also so great because it's a wonderful gift, and these kids are their entire world, and if their world was taken from them, I can't imagine that pain. And so Denise quickly rushed to the store's owners or managers, and she told her story. Then she met with security, and she described what her little boy was wearing. So James Bulger's name was announced over the mall's loudspeakers, and there was no sign of him. Then he was reported missing to the local police at 4:15 p.m. that day. And many individuals claimed to have seen a toddler being pulled along by two boys. Obviously, James was in distress and was not sure what was going on. He cried out for his mother, but the boys ignored him. Okay, so Granted, this scene can be taken in many different ways. Like, if you see two boys and a little toddler going around the mall, I'd be like, first of all, why aren't you in school? Why aren't you in school? Because all of this happened on a Friday, by the way. Some knowledge that is kind of important for later. It reminds me of, like, that one meme with Mickey Mouse where it's like, oh, it's a special tool that we will need for later. I don't know. I totally butchered it, but it's kind of funny. And if you get what I'm saying, yes. Thank you. And so that's kind of what I thought with that phrase. Anyhow, sorry. Sorry for rambling. Back to it. So if I was out of the mall, I'd be like, okay, why are these children out of the house? Go to school, go to daycare, whatever. Like, where's your mom? Where's your dad? Where is your guardian? Because obviously, these two boys and Mr. James Bulger. Is it weird calling a toddler Mr.? Sure. I don't know. I just felt like I had to say it. And that's just, like, kind of weird to me. Well, it's weird to me to see kids out and about because I know how I was raised. No, that does not happen. I remember the first time I went to the mall with one of my friends, I was like 14 or 15, and that was my first time going to the mall alone, which I totally understand and I totally respect, like, my parents' wishes because, you know, I overthink everything. Haha. I tie it all back together, folks. Okay, continuing on. Wait, no, I didn't finish my first thought. Sorry. It's kind of late when I'm recording this, but nevertheless. So these individuals see these children and they didn't stop to question them? That is a trend in this case. Don't worry, it gets worse. Okay. So then security and Denise decided to look back on surveillance cameras, and Denise confirmed that it was her little boy being pulled away from the mall. And the time stamp was 3:42 p.m. And it was odd because it was two little boys pulling her toddler away. And as the three boys walked by, bystanders simply thought that they were siblings. You know, I would too. I don't know if they looked alike. I know all three of them were white boys. Sorry if that, like, they were white. There we go. And I think all of them were brunettes. I'm not sure, but just they could pass as siblings to random strangers. You know, I don't know if the strangers were, like, looking at them, like, closely, but, you know, people were like, oh, whatever, they're just siblings having fun. You know, because sometimes siblings do enjoy each other's time together. Other times we hate each other. And then other times we're like best friends. You know, it's what we do best. But so James would continuously, like, run ahead of the two boys. And then the two boys would call out to him and they said, come on, baby. And they just kept saying that. They kept treating James like, granted, James was technically three. I'm gonna say he's about three, but, like, he's still two, you know? And he was treated very poorly. And it's just awful. The two led James to an area near the canal. And it was very secluded, so nobody would really catch them. And that's what the boys wanted, because there, they dropped James on his head. And he was left there crying. Then the two called for the toddler to come back to them, and even though they just dropped him on his head, James did not know any, like, where else to go, so he followed, and he was bruised and cut on his forehead. And because of this, the boys pulled over James's hood to try to avoid drawing attention to them. Even with the hood on, those walking by noticed the injury. Someone even saw James crying, but nothing happened. The three continued wandering around Liverpool's shops, buildings, and parking lots. They walked down the busiest streets, and even when a boy was seen kicking James in the ribs, still nothing. The same boy who kicked James was also seen punching and shaking him. The witness who stated this pulled her curtains closed and ignored what she saw. As the day turned to night, an elderly woman noticed James crying and his injuries. She questioned the trio, and the older two said, "We just found him at the bottom of the hill." The woman then told the boys to take the youngest to the nearby Walton Lane police station. They walked away and she called out to them, but she was ignored. They just continued walking, and the elderly woman watched the three wander, but another woman came by her side and told her not to worry because she heard James laughing moments before. But as the police broadcasted the news on James being missing, one of the women called the police and shared the regret she felt about not taking action. I just can't imagine the pain that she felt and being like, oh my gosh. If it was the woman who said, oh yeah, he's fine, he was just laughing. Like, ouch. I can't even imagine like that weight and that amount of sorrow and pain, because knowing, like, obviously you can't blame yourself in situations like this because it's not your fault. It is the perpetrator's fault. It is all them. It has nothing to do with the victim. It has nothing to do because, wait, yeah, it has nothing to do with the victim. And I think in passing, if you see the victim before they pass on, you know, I feel like that is a form of trauma. I don't know. I don't study trauma. I study accounting. And it's just like, I feel like that would be a very traumatic experience, knowing that I could have stopped that. And everybody says you can't think like that, because you can't. If you do, you're just going to go down in the spiral and everything is going to get worse and worse and worse, and it's so painful. And I'm the type of person to I guess blame myself for every little thing, and when I get in those thinking patterns, I start to spiral and I start to ruminate on those thoughts. And I think that is what would happen in a situation like this. Knowing that, like, looking back and being like, he was right there, but I didn't know. If only I knew. You can't know these things. I guess we need to trust her gut. And because, I don't know, I feel like humans are really intuitive creatures, some more than others. And we just, trusting our gut can be really difficult, especially if you have anxiety like me, because my gut constantly tells me to run. I don't know, it's just, it's really difficult in this situation because I don't even know how to explain properly, because, you know, just as you listen, you understand, right? I hope so. But yeah, continuing on with this. So yet again, another woman saw James and she was concerned about him. She was going to take James to the police station herself, but nobody was able to watch her daughter. And so the boys got away with him yet again. While the trio wandered around Liverpool, sorry, totally forgot the name for a second and was looking back at my notes. As they walked throughout Liverpool, they walked into different stores, and in those stores, both of the shopkeepers were very suspicious of the older two, but all three of them were like, oh. You know, because it's kind of weird being suspicious of children, because children are known to just have this innocence in them. And so when something's wrong, it's like, is something really wrong, or have I just watched too many crime shows? And then after they left the different shops, other boys came across the three and acknowledged Robert Thompson and John Venables. Those are the name of the two 10-year-olds. And the other two boys who met them were very confused about the toddler. They were like, who the crap is this? And so Venables was very quick and on the fly with this statement. He said that the toddler was Thompson's brother and they were just taking him home. And so, no questions asked. They were sent on their merry way. So after all of these witnesses, they were not taking James home. They instead took him to the railway. There, Venables and Thompson hesitated and turned away from James for a moment, but eventually they turned back, and what happened next happened between 5:45 and 6:30 p.m. This is, graphic, just to warn everybody. This is what happened. So previously, when Venables and Thompson were out of the different stores, they stole blue paint from the shopping mall. They used this blue paint and splashed it in James's left eye. They then proceeded to kick him and pummel him with bricks and stones. They even stuffed the boy's mouth with batteries. And at the end of this, the boys hit James over the head with a 22-pound iron bar, which resulted in 10 skull fractures. In total, James Bulger sustained 42 injuries to his face, head, and body. Later, when he was found, authorities concluded that the fatal blow could not be identified. But a forensic pathologist did confirm that he was dead at this point. Then, Venables and Thompson placed James across the train tracks to try and mask what they did to him. And the two older boys left the scene before the train came and ran across the body. That's just... 10-year-olds. When I was 10, I was obsessed with the movie Frozen because that came out that year. I was in 5th grade? Yeah, I was in 5th grade, and I can't even imagine, like, people in my class at that time doing something like this. Nobody can ever think of somebody at 10 years old doing something like this. It's unheard of. And hearing about child killers, like, who are children, it's kind of scary. I'm just like, what? Where did this come from? How did this happen? Because some people, I believe, are genuinely born killers. Some people, they go in with the wrong friends. But this is interesting. I'll tell you my theories later. Hopefully I remember. And so, the day after this, police followed up on an eyewitness report stating that James Bulger was seen at the canal, and other searches were also conducted, but they didn't really lead to anything. At the very beginning of this investigation, the parents were initially the suspects, like, before they even looked at the security cameras. Because when you hear about missing children, and I believe some sources have said that Denise and Ralph were divorced. So typically in those types of situations, it's most likely the other parent who does not have the custody over the children who eventually kidnaps the kids and is like, hey, they're mine now. You know, so police thought initially it was that. But that quickly changed when police took note of the CCTV footage from the mall, aka like the video camera footage. And nobody could believe their eyes. The fuzzy footage depicted two small boys leading James away from the mall. I will upload this picture on our Instagram. Please check it out. Give it a follow. You know, if you want, like, more updates, whatever. Yeah, check out our Instagram at secondary accounts. Cool, cool. And the images from the CCTV were released to the media, and the story was the buzz of many stations. So Ralph Bulger, who is James's father, if we remember, he saw that it was the two boys who his son left with. And Ralph stated, I looked at Denise and smiled with relief. "He's gonna be all right, Denise," I said. "He's with two young kids. He's gonna be all right." That hurts, you know? And then eventually, four children discovered James's body on the railway track, causing the search to end 2 days after James disappeared. The body was found 200 yards from the nearest police station. Imagine the therapy necessary for those four children who saw James's body, because James's body was in half after the train ran over him. And that's just like, ouch, you know? Obviously that would be painful. And like, I'm grateful that he was dead before the train ran over him, because I can't imagine that pain and that fear that he... Ugh. It's awful. I hate this. I hate those boys who killed him. And then at the scene, the weapons used in this attack were all covered in the boys' blood, and they were found in the surrounding area. And the blue paint was also found nearby. With the police's knowledge of the two boys leading James away, they checked the nearby school's attendance list for the day of the disappearance. Because, obviously, the kids had to have been missing school if they were enrolled in school. And different kids who were absent were identified as potentials. Some parents even reported their own children. You know, honestly, like, I wasn't a bad kid, but looking back, I'd be like, lol, I would have, like, been like, I was absent that day. I had nothing to do with it, but I'd always be like, I'm absent because I missed all the school in the world. Low-key surprised I graduated because of that, but, like, I graduated high school, guys. Woohoo, go me. And so, in the end, it was an anonymous phone call made to the police that made Venables and Thompson suspects, especially with this caller mentioning the presence of blue paint on Venables' jacket, which the blue paint was found at the crime scene, and it was used on James. Police visited Venables and Thompson, and a pair of Thompson's shoes had blood on them, and Venables' jacket did indeed have blue paint on it. The anonymous phone caller also stated that Venables' jacket did have blue paint on it. And wow, he was right. Or she. They. That's a safe word. So, this evidence did not make the boys prime suspects of this case. Surprisingly, and very shockingly, since Venables and Thompson did not have criminal records, police were focusing on kids with criminal records. And with the fuzzy footage, the police were like, no, those boys kind of look like they're 13 or 14, not 10. Police did interview Venables and Thompson separately, and during their interviews, the boys turned on one another. See, this is a trend. You know, if we throw back to our episode 1, sorry, me just shamelessly plugging in previous episodes and stuff. Back in episode 1 with James Gregory Marlowe and Cynthia Kaufman, they turned on each other. You know, it doesn't matter what kind of relationship you're in, how big of an age difference you are, or what age you are, you're gonna turn on each other. Just know, if you ever commit crimes, the other person's gonna turn on you, and you're gonna turn on them, so just don't commit any crimes, because then nobody will turn on you. You know, it's safe money. It's a safe bet. And so, they did turn on one another, and they blamed the other for the crimes. And after several days of interviewing, Venables did confess. And the 10-year-old John Venables stated, I did kill him. What about his mom? Will you tell her I'm sorry? Whenever I hear kids, like, talk about their moms, it just, like, Oh, but this, I'm just like, bruh, you know exactly what you did. You are not sorry. And it's just like, wow, you're a monster. You're a monster trapped in a little boy's body. You know? I don't know. It's just like, I have no sympathy. I'm just like, dude, you slaughtered a child and you want to tell his mom sorry? No, you can't do that. You can't. So, while Venables was very easy to interview, Robert Thompson, however, was not. He denied absolutely everything that the police threw his way. And yeah, he was very quiet, which is weird. But in the end, he did out himself by giving Detective Sergeant Phil Roberts a very detailed account of what James Bulger was wearing. And as Thompson denied everything, he remained very unfazed by everything the police shared. Ugh. Like, he's like, yeah, that happened. You can't prove that I did it. It's like, bruh, son, he did. He did prove it. Because you just told him what James was wearing. Because, like, how would he know what James was wearing? He wouldn't. Unless he was there. And he was. Thank you. So, both Venables and Thompson were charged. The trial began 9 months later, and Venables and Thompson were convicted. Yes! As they should! And they were the youngest to be convicted of this crime in Britain in 250 years. I wonder, like, who was the kid who got convicted 251 years before this? You know, like, how old were you, child? What was in your mind? Did the doctor give you cocaine because, I know, your head hurt? I don't know. I don't know the medical practices back then. I just remember that cocaine is very prevalent in olden days medicine. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'll have to look that up. Maybe that might be another case. Ooh, that'd be a fun episode. We'll see. So these two boys were sentenced to serve at Her Majesty's pleasure. And at first I was like, okay, that I don't like the sound of that. But it's Britain, and basically it just means they would be in prison until they were officially deemed safe to return to real life. So Venables and Thompson apparently showed no violent behavior while they were in prison. They instead remained quiet, and no incidents involving them occurred. And so I'm just like, wow. Thompson stayed quiet like he was in the interview, but then it's also kind of weird that Venables didn't really act out. But then, I don't know, maybe they realized, okay, this is punishment and I completely deserve this because I killed a 2-year-old, you know? So maybe. But the two boys were released in 2001 because they served their sentence and they were deemed safe to return back to the real world. So when they were released, Thompson and Venables were granted legal anonymity. I apologize. I cannot say that word to save my life. Anonymity? Yes, let's go with that. And new identities to protect themselves because, you know, child killers are ugh. Yeah, that's just all I can say because I don't care for them at all, and neither does anybody else. So obviously people were outraged about this. They're like, why are you protecting them? And so yeah, it's just very interesting. And yeah. And now we are going to have a short break. Welcome back from the break. Welcome back. And so many people believe that Thompson is living a very quiet life. I guess he's found a way of living and hasn't really made a fool of himself, hasn't gone back to jail, which is kind of a shocker, but you know. But for Venables, that's kind of a different story. So in 2010, he was arrested because he had images of different sexual abuse being inflicted on male toddlers on his computer. But he did become eligible for parole in 2013. But Ralph Bulger told the parole board that Venables should not be released. Because, you know, like, Ralph was pissed. Like, are you serious? This man murdered my son and he's eligible for parole. He should never have left prison. I agree. We'll continue on with this fact later. Okay. So, even with these pleadings, Venables was released into the world again. But in November of 2017, he found his way back to prison. Because when a pedophile manual and more child abuse images were discovered on his computer, he was sent to prison. And with this, he was sentenced to 3 years and 4 months in prison. And that's just like, seriously, I don't understand how it's like child porn, like predators and everything. And like, obviously he has a history of abuse and murdering a child. And it's just, it's really weird how like Venables stayed with the male toddlers. I guess, like, I wonder what he was like as a child. And I know I say this a lot, but, like, I don't understand how people can do this. But it's also so compelling. I'm like, okay, what is it in your head that is telling you to do this? Like, tell me what is going on. And Ralph, still to this day, is rooting for his son. Even though his son has passed on for, has it been almost 30 years? Yeah, because it was 1993 when he was murdered. And next year is 2023. That's so wild. That is so wild. So yeah, to this day, Ralph is rooting for the anonymity for Venables and Thompson to be released because he's like, they took away my son. They took away his life. And now they're out living theirs. So that's just like, yeah, that hits deep. Because that's very true. They took away his little boy's life. And now they're living theirs. Granted, I know people can change. I know that they can. But okay, so what I believe, Venables was like the man in charge. He was the little 10-year-old in charge, and Thompson was probably his friend from school and very easily manipulated because he was probably the quiet child. You know, it makes sense since he was quiet during the interviews. But it's also like, bro, why didn't you show any emotion? Because official like psychologist during the trial, they investigated how the boys felt and everything and their knowledge, and they were deemed they weren't deemed sociopaths because they knew the difference between right and wrong. Both of these boys knew what they were doing, and yet they still continued on with what they did. And so, I don't know if Thompson wanted to kill this boy. Oh, another story that I forgot to mention. So, after James's story was reported on the news and everything, apparently, Thompson and Venables attempted to kidnap another little boy, but as they were walking away with this little boy, that boy's mom saw that they were taking him, and she yelled, dude, This mother is so fierce. Literally, I want to be like that for my kids. It's like, get away from my son. I don't know what the exact words she said were, but like, I can only imagine. And so she was yelling at them, as she should. She has every right to. And so Venables and Thompson dropped the boy's hand and told the child, go back to your mother. And those two boys ran away, which is very lucky for that one child, but that inevitably sealed the fate for James Bulger, because those two boys, they planned this out, and they weren't letting anything stop them. And yeah, it's just like, wow, you awful kids. So going back to what I was previously saying, Thompson, I totally believe, like, was following along with Venables. Yes, he's guilty. 100%. Like, you participated in this, even though you knew that it was wrong. And Venables, he's just like, bro, you're the mastermind of this stupid plan, this awful plan. Yeah, I can't think of any words that, like, describes it. Other than like awful and like all the words that I have said previously in this episode. Sorry for my repetition of words. So definitely like tell me guys your thoughts about this case. Like, what are your theories? Like, did both Venables and Thompson play a huge part? What are your thoughts about their anonymity? And should they keep it? Should they be able to keep it? And literally, Venables needs to stay in prison. I don't know about y'all, but he keeps getting convicted and charged with every charge. You know, sorry that I probably worded that wrong, but you know, it works. He keeps getting charged and then going back to real world, and then he goes back to prison. It's just like, bro, just stay there. It's obviously your home. Go back home. We don't want you here. But then with Thompson, I'm just like, okay, who are you? Literally, wouldn't it just be so creepy if, like, Thompson was, like, your neighbor or something, and he's, like, this great guy, you know, your best friend, whatever, but then he killed somebody when he was 10 years old? But then it, like, makes me realize, like, I wonder how many people are like that, because obviously witness protection is a thing, but I'm always like, what's your past? Like, what happened? Because I like knowing things, which can kind of be bad, because I'm just like, I need to respect people's privacy, because everybody has privacy and everybody deserves that. But it's also like, do child killers deserve that? I don't know. But yeah, that is this week's case. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Well, like, I don't know, it was hard to enjoy it. Because a child was murdered. I don't know. You guys know what I mean. Literally. Yeah. So, thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, rest of your week. And I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.